You're listening to New Life Church in Richmond Hill, Georgia.
Called Good News, and everybody could use some good news, right? And so this morning we're going to continue in that. We're going to go to the book of Genesis today, and we're going to start in Genesis chapter 2 and 3. So you can go ahead and start turning to Genesis 2 and 3, and then we're going to go to Isaiah and the Gospel of John after that. So Put your finger there and just kind of mark your place. So before we do that, before we get to those scriptures, I want to do a little thought experiment. And so I want us to just kind of get a scenario in our head. So the scenario that I want us to think through is this. You're getting ready to throw a party, okay? You're inviting people to your house. And so you got to clean up. You're getting ready. You're cleaning the house, right? You are preparing food. You're cooking food. You're buying food. You're setting out decorations, right? Well, say it's Christmas time, and so you're setting out all the decorations. You're getting everything ready to have people come to your house to be part of this party. And so as you've invited all these guests to come to your house, and they start arriving, they start showing up to your house, and as they're coming in, you've got all the food laid out, right? And so there's different kinds of food. What's your favorite kind of food? You like pecan pies? We got pies all over the place. We've got we got the meat table. You know, there's how many of you are meat eaters, right? And it is not a party unless it looks like Arby's over there. So we got, like, you know, roast beef, and we've got turkey, we've got ham. You know, we got some steak somewhere over there. That's like it's good. So this is a great party. Then we've got those little Christmas tree. What are they, little Christmas tree treats, desserts, any of those little package things? It's probably, they're made with like styrofoam, I don't know, but they're amazing. They taste great. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Y'all know what I'm talking about? We're not supposed to eat those, but man, they're delicious. So we got a table of those, right? And so people start coming in, and what you notice as your guests have arrived and they're coming in, they start taking the food and they begin to retreat into different parts of the house. So they pick up the bowl of the Christmas tree desserts, and there's a group of people that go into the living room, and they barricade themselves in the living room, and they build like this fort out of your couch and your recliner, and they've got like shelves up, and they're like, "You can't come in here. We've got all the Christmas tree desserts for us, and they are ours now, and you can't have any." And then there's a whole other group of people who have taken the turkey and the steak, and they're hole up, you know, in the den, right? And they've got another set of couches and recliners, and they're like, it's a standoff, right? You've got all these factions of people that are in your house, and they have grabbed your food, and they have gone to the different parts of your house, and they are hoarding this food. What do you do? Right? What do you do? It's your party. It's your food. You shut the party down, send everybody home, get out of here, I'm kicking you out. What do you do? And this scenario, I think, is a scenario that we could say really is what God has to deal with us, right? Because if we're looking at this, God is a generous host, and he has invited us to his party, all right? God is a generous host, and he has invited us to his party. And so if you think about this and you think about how God has been generous, how God has been good, that from the very outset of Genesis, from the very outset of creation, God has started giving right off the bat. Before anybody did anything that was worthy of any pats on the backs or attaboys, right, God begins to give of himself and begins to give in creation. And this story of his generosity that we see in Genesis is important, because this wasn't just being told to the Hebrew people. That Genesis wasn't just given to them and said, listen, this is the story of Yahweh and the story of his generosity. What you have to understand is that Genesis and the Hebrews, they had all these people that lived around them and the surrounding nations, and they served all these other gods. And the stories of their gods were not like the stories of Yahweh. The stories of their gods were, those gods were mean, and those gods were angry, and those gods needed you to create sacrifices so that they could be appeased, so that they wouldn't be mean and angry. But the story that we see here in Genesis is the story of Yahweh the true God, who starts off with giving generously before anything is even asked of anybody. He says, I'm going to come and I'm going to give to you. And so what we find is this, is we find that he brings order out of chaos. He creates a garden out of a wasteland. Yahweh is different. He's not like these other gods. Yahweh gives and he is generous. The problem is this. The problem is that all the people, all the invited guests are infected. Okay? Think about that. Think about your party that you've invited everybody to, and they come in and they're sick, right? You remember, sometimes it's like Thanksgiving. You know, this, you might have just came through this about a week ago, right? Everybody's hacking and coughing, and they're sick, and they come, and they're bringing their infection with them, and you're like, wow, do I want these people in my house, right? And so God has invited all these people to his party, but we're all sick and infected. And we're all sick and infected with greed. We're all sin sick, and we're infected with the effects of sin and the effects of greed. And that's why we do the things that we do. And so Genesis, if we go to Genesis, let's go to Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 16. Genesis 2, beginning in verse 16. And this is what it says. Let's see if I can find it here. And the Lord God commanded the man, Adam, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the one tree, the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. And so God gives Adam instruction, right? He says, listen, he says, I'm giving you all the trees, all the plants, all the bushes. The entire run of the garden is yours, man. Right? Wouldn't that be like if you went to an Airbnb, went to stay at somebody's house, and they're like, hey, listen, man, everything in the refrigerator is yours. Everything in this house, you can be in every room. You can go anywhere that you want to. There's one little tiny mini fridge. Don't go in there, okay? Because just as soon as you eat of any of that food that's in that little mini fridge, it's going to kill you. Okay? And God's not hiding anything from Adam, right? He tells him, he says, listen, don't touch that tree. Don't go to that tree and eat of that tree, because when you do, things will change and you're going to die. And so he's not trying to hide anything from him. He's not trying to keep anything from him. Actually, it's the opposite. He has given him everything. He has given him everything that Adam could ever want and ever could have imagined. And he creates, the only thing he says wasn't good was that Adam was alone. And so he rectifies that. And he makes this beautiful woman for him to share this garden paradise with. And so they're given this instruction, saying, hey, have the run of the place. Enjoy it. Be fruitful and multiply and enjoy this garden. Just don't touch or don't eat of that tree. And this is what we pick up in Genesis 3, verse 4. It says, but the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, so, man, it was good to nourish my hunger, it looked good to eat, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. So it wasn't just a physical thing. Now, something about this tree was like it changes you. And it'll make you not only not hungry, but it'll make you wise. She took the fruit and she ate. And she gave some to her husband who was with her, who had gotten the initial instruction, right? And he ate. And we see that for some reason, they thought God is holding out on us. They thought, you know what? God's keeping something back. God's not being as generous as maybe we thought he was. And so sometimes we get this distorted picture of God. Sometimes we get this distorted picture that God is angry and mean and that God hates people and God is just trying to crush people's lives, right? And that's why we talk to people, it's like, well, I like the New Testament. I like Jesus in the New Testament. He's really cool. The God of the Old Testament is scary, right? But I don't know what story you're reading, because that's a different story than the story I have in this book. The story that I have in this book says that God is generous. that God started out being a gift giver, and he started out being generous, and you didn't have to work for that. Actually, he created us, and he shaped us and formed us and set us in this place and said, man, it's all good, and you can just walk through this world and be fruitful and multiply. But they got the picture after talking to the serpent, which is kind of weird, right, talking to snakes, that things aren't as they seem. And it's almost the serpent shifted the lens just a little bit and distorted it. Because this is what happens, is that greed, it begins with dissatisfaction. That's how greed begins. We become dissatisfied with what we have, right? Anybody, have you ever bought something and you thought it was amazing for like the first 2 hours? And then after 2 hours, you're like, eh, maybe it's not all that, right? Maybe I need the next iteration of it. I need the next version of this. I need the next newest phone. I need the next newest truck. I need another house. I need another, whatever that is for you. You know, whatever that experience was for you. I think mine was a Bowflex. Anybody remember Bowflex? It's an amazing hat rack. It had all these rods, you know, you hang hats on them and coats. And you know, I used it for a couple weeks. I'm like, man, I'm not ripped at all, right? Might have been those little Christmas tree desserts I kept eating. And I don't know, maybe they don't pair well together. And so, you know, this Bowflex, I thought, this thing's not as good as one. I need the next new thing. What is that? And Bowflex came out with something else. And I began to look at that. I'm like, maybe that's it. Maybe that's going to change my life. And it was this dissatisfaction. That's what happens. Greed begins with dissatisfaction. Greed distorts the world in such a way where you can be surrounded by abundance and still feel like something's absent, right? Isn't that what greed does? You can be surrounded by abundance, by everything you could ever want, and still feel like, yeah, I don't know, something's missing. Something's just not here, right? And that's what happens when we get infected with greed. That's what happens when greed becomes kind of the bent and the direction of our life. So greed begins with dissatisfaction. Then greed distorts our desires to want more than what we need, right? Have you ever seen that? That people sometimes will, they have so much. It's like, why do you need any more? Well, I guess I just got to get more. For whatever reason that they concocted in their head, or whatever reason they bought, or whatever lie that they bought in, you know, we say, well, I need more. And so, well, that's what greed does. Greed distorts our desires to want more than what we need. We think we need more because it isn't good enough, or we think there isn't enough, right? Isn't that the case? It isn't good enough, or it isn't enough. And we get this idea that maybe God, you know, maybe you're holding out on me. That's what they got. God, maybe there's something more than I need. And God's like, I'm giving you everything. I'm giving you myself. We start getting this scarcity mindset, right? That there's not going to be enough. But, you know, there is enough. Actually, God has given us enough in this life and in this world. The fact is, we just mismanage it. We don't do well with it. We get to a point where we are trying to get what we want and our desires, and maybe I have more than what I need and somebody doesn't have enough. It's not because there's not enough there. It's because either we hoard and we get this fear of there not being enough ever. And so, man, I've got to work to get more so I can my family and my tribe can have, and maybe yours is not. So I don't care. That's your problem. You go live your life. Greed distorts our desires to want more than what we need. Greed separates us. It separates us from the generous host, right? That's what greed does. It separates us, and that's what happened in the story, is that when Adam and Eve, they felt like, I need to get more than what I've been given because God's holding out on me, they got something. They got what they really didn't bargain for. And they wound up hiding in bushes in shame. And God's like, where are you at? And he wasn't asking the question because he had lost them. He was asking the question because it's a rhetorical thing. Adam and Eve, look into your life. Where have you put yourself? Where have you placed yourself? You have isolated yourself from me. And that's what we do, is we separate ourselves from the generous host. We put distance between us and the generous host, which is God. And actually, we put distance between us and each other. And you know what that looks like. people get suspicious of one another. We can't be open. It's like, oh, they're just trying to get my money. They're just trying to get one over on me. And so, you know, I'm suspicious of them, and I can't let them in. And we start pulling back, and we pull back from friendships and relationships. And I have to hoard and hide my stuff, right? Because it's my stuff, and somebody might want to get my stuff. It reminds me of, what was it, Finding Nemo? Anybody remember Finding Nemo? When all the birds, my mine, right? That's the picture I get in my head when I think of greed, right? And sometimes my life has been like that. Mine, just give me everything that I can get. Because it becomes about me. And God says, no, it's not about you. Actually, it's not even yours, Ryan. Everything that you have, Ryan, it's because I've given you. And if you're ever going to have anything, Ryan, it's because I'm the one who gives it to you. And so I want you to acknowledge me as the generous host. But what it does, what greed does, is we pull back, we distance ourselves from our generous God, our generous host, and we distance ourselves and isolate ourselves from each other. And so greed separates us. It separates us from the people that God wants us to be in relationship with, and it distances us from God himself. So what was God's response? What's God's response after all this? After everything that has happened, how does God respond to that? This is how God responds. God's response was this: to give again. That's how God responds. Did you get that? Is that how you'd have wrote the story? Is if it's your party, how would you have ended the party, right? Get out of my house. All right? Don't let the door hit you where you can finish it, okay? Right? You know, it's like, get out of here. My food, my house, my party, and y'all got to go. But that's not what God does. God says, all right, I am going to give again. God responds by giving again. Isaiah 9 and 6, and that's why we celebrate this time of year. It's what this is all about, and I'll just read it off the screen. It says, for to us a child is born. To us a son is what? Given. See, God just wasn't birthing a child. He wasn't just letting some baby be born in a manger somewhere. He was giving of himself. He was giving a son. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. God gives again. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. Oh, I love that. Anybody, you love that? Can we just read that one more time? And the government shall be on his shoulders, right? Because isn't he much better with that? Isn't he much more generous? Isn't he, when we think about how broken and messed up our world is, people without character and people without integrity and how we want what we want, we try to just fight, scheme, and manipulate, the government shall be on his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And this is not just his title. These aren't just titles that we say, hey, let's give him Mr. This and you know, Doctor That or Reverend This. That's not just a title for him. This is who he is. This is what he does, right? God is saying, I am generous. This is my character. This is the outflow of knowing me, is I am the generous God. And so God responds to the party, to the messed up, broken party that we've been invited to, that we wrecked, we messed up, we trashed the place, we trashed the house. God's response to us is to give again and to keep giving until we begin to give like God gives. That's why he does that. That's why he does that. He says, I'm going to keep giving, and I'm going to keep modeling this, and I'm going to keep showing you what this looks like until you begin to give like me, right? And there have been times where I have been just so far away from that model, where I've been so consumed with my own wants and desires, and then I realize, man, I'm nowhere near what God wants me to look like. And so God gives so that he can be the model and that I can begin to give like God gives. God models generosity. And this is God's generosity. God's generosity is this, and this is how he models it. He gives freely, he gives abundantly, and he gives sacrificially. He gives freely, he gives abundantly, and he gives sacrificially. He gives freely. You didn't have to work for it. He gives abundantly. It's more than we could ever imagine. And he gives sacrificially. He gives of himself. And that's how God gives. That's the model. Now the question is this. Do I give freely? Do I give abundantly? Ryan, do you give sacrificially? Right? And that's not only a question to me, it's a question to you. How are we doing with following God's model? Are we here just to continue to wreck the place, right? Hoard all the donuts and the roast beef, Arby's roast beef sandwiches in the corner, like, you can't have any, they're all mine. Or are we going to be the people who say, God kicked a chair out for me and invited me to the table? See, I remember when I was in high school, man, I hated lunch. I hated lunch. I didn't have a ton of friends. I had friends at church. I didn't have a ton of friends at school. And so it was really difficult for me at lunch. I had to make a choice. If I was going to eat lunch, I had to eat lunch in the lunchroom, and I had to find a table where somebody would let me sit with their group. And it was difficult because everybody would kind of look like, you ain't about to sit here, are you? This is our table. This table belongs to us. Right? We carved our name in it with the illegal knife that we brought in. Right? You can't sit here. I remember that, man. I remember so many days I would go sit in the library and just read the newspaper like an old man, right? I was 16. Yeah. And I don't tell you that story to say, gosh, Pastor Ryan's life was horrible, right? I was actually blessed. I just didn't realize it at the time. And it wasn't until I began to give my heart over to Jesus that he began to change me to look like him, and I began to enjoy that blessed life and see that lens shift that the enemy does. I quit believing the lies and listening to the lies. And I realized, God, you've got so much more for me. And so God's not the lunchroom kind of God that says, no, you can't sit at my table. He's the generous God that leaves the chair out and says, hey, you need a seat? Hey, come sit with me. Hey, who is it that needs, you need a chair? Come on, come sit at my table. Come sit with me. There's enough room. We'll make space, right? I'll share. I've got food. You hungry? I've got what you need. Are you hurting? You can come sit with me and just pour that out, right? Just think about the generous God that we have. The loving God that we have, and when we see it in that context and in that picture, it helps us see God's modeling generosity for us. And so what does generosity do? Generosity does this. It breaks the grip of greed on our life. You want to break greed in your life? Begin to give. So is that how that works? That's exactly how that works. That's why God models that. Because he understands that when we begin to give, that not only affects the person we give to, that affects us. Actually, there's studies that have been done. There was a study done by a lady named Elizabeth Dunn and Laura Acknon. And they did this study where the participants of the study were given anywhere from $5 to $20. And they had to go spend this money either on themselves by the end of the day or spend it on someone else. And what they found were the people who took that $5 to $20 and did something with it for someone else, they came back and they were much happier that they did that. And actually in this study, at the end of the study, what they found was this, that people who give on a regular basis are 43% more happier than people who never give at all. People who give on a regular basis, they found their happiness is 43% higher, right? And this isn't a religious study. This was just studying the effects of generosity on people's lives. And this is what they found. It said the research challenged the conventional notions about money and happiness. They found how we spend money matters more than how much money we have. See, that's really what it comes down to, right? It's not how much you have. What are you doing with it? Man, you could have $1 billion and still be unhappy. You say, well, I'd like to try that, right? At least for a day. God, let me try that, you know. I get that. But people who don't even believe in Jesus, this is their studies, and they're saying, yeah, it's better to be generous. And so people who say, I do believe in Jesus, and I trust Jesus, and I want to reflect Jesus, for us, it's even more critical, because it's not just about feeling good and being happy. It's about reflecting the Creator who has shaped us and molded us and formed us. Say, Jesus, I want you to be seen in my life. See, generosity is the cure for greed. Generosity is the gauge of a life that reflects Jesus. You know, we got all these gauges in our car. Do you know how you're running out of gas? You know, when it kind of rolls to the curb and you can't get it to go anywhere. Actually, before that, there's a gauge. There's a gauge. A little light that comes on. Ding! Oh, I wonder what that is. That's a pretty little light. It's the light that says, hey, you need to gas up. Generosity in our life is that gauge that tells us, hey, if this is hard, you might need to do this more, right? To where as you begin to do it more, it becomes more of who you are. It becomes a bigger part of who you are. And actually what you'll find is this is what you were actually created for in the first place. You were created for generosity and not greed. That was God's original plan for you. God's original plan for your life is generosity. Why do I know that? Because from the very beginning, that's who He's been. He's been the God that gives. He's been the God that shows it. He is the God that gives freely. He gives abundantly. He gives sacrificially. I'm going to ask somebody to come play. See, we are never more like God than when we give generously. We are never more like God than when we give generously. John 3:16. We know this. We can quote this, right? But I'm going to ask you to put it up on the screen. For God so loved the world that He what? Gave. God loves. And God gives. You say, well, God loves. That's right. God gives. What does God give? God gives salvation. God gives chances. God gives so much that we don't. I guess we just don't realize sometimes. We take it for granted. When you start thinking about all the blessings and all the things that you have because God has given. Some of you shouldn't even be here today. The very breath that you have in your body, do you realize it's a gift? Everybody just take a deep breath. And as you exhale, say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for that breath. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you, God, for my family, even when they drive me crazy. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for the house. That sometimes people come over and they steal all my dessert, Christmas tree desserts. But God, thank you that we've had them. God, thank you for the ability to go to work. Thank you for the ability to have skills, to have an education. God, thank you. God, you gave anything that I have, it's because God has allowed me to have it. It's not because Ryan was good, and it's not because Ryan was smart. It's not because Ryan was strong. It's because God is good. It was because God allowed me to have this, and I recognize that, and I never want to fail to recognize God's goodness. And I don't want you to do that either. What I want us to do today is make that commitment. God, let generosity be what's reflected in me. Break the grip of greed in my life. Stand with me this morning. Somebody said this at a conference a couple years ago, and it hit me. They said, the world of the generous gets larger. And I believe that. I believe that the world of stingy and greedy people, it gets smaller, right? Greedy and stingy people, they lose friends. Nobody wants to hang out with them. But actually, they don't just lose friends. They push them away, right? Because there's not enough. There's not enough. I've got to hoard it. I've got to keep it. It's got to be mine, 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 mine. So the world of the greedy and the stingy, it gets smaller, smaller, smaller. But we should know this is true, that the world of the generous gets larger. Why? Because God's generous. And He's a big God with big gifts and a great big world and a great big love for this world. So that's what I want. I want to live in the world of the generous because the world of the generous gets larger. God's gift to us is Jesus. Our gift to others is living like Jesus. Today is Giving Sunday. You say, Pastor, you preach this message, so we'd give a big offering. Absolutely. Not hiding anything from you here. But see, the thing about this today while we're doing this is not so we could pay for lights and sound and air conditioning or heat today. It's not so that we can have carpet and staff and all these things. That's not what this offering is about. Actually, we want to give this away. We want to reflect. Giving Sunday is not about us getting as much as it's about us finding places. God, where do you want us to give it? All those places we've talked about over the last few weeks, the missionaries, right? Having Keith back from Burma, he was just telling me this morning about what that experience was like. Kevin Chapman going into these places in Thailand and pulling these girls out of these homes where they're being abused, sexually abused, and sold to men for sex, and they're pulling them out and they're bringing them to a place that's safe. They're being cared for and fed and shown who Jesus is. And then you see the results of where they get to sing, God, you're good, right? That's what this is about. So this morning, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the chance to give today. We thank you for the chance to come and break greed's grip on our life. Maybe we've seen that. Maybe we've felt that. And so we kind of know what that gauge means. That light is on because, Lord, there's some greed in our life. And, Lord, we want to break that. We want you to break that. But, Lord, how you instruct us to break that is to give. You modeled that. You are the God that gives. And, Lord, you create us to give. And so that's what we do. We give today. Not because we have to, because, Lord, this is how we're wired. This is how we're created. We're built. We're shaped for this. We're shaped for generosity, and we're shaped to be to create a world of the generous, which is a big world. So, Lord, give through us today. Love through us today. Live through us today. Help this go where you want it to go today. Direct us as a church to put this where it needs to be. To people whose lives need to be touched. Whatever that looks like, God, I am open to your plan, to your leading. Holy Spirit, you lead us in this. And we thank you for this chance. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to New Life Church in Richmond Hill, Georgia. For more information regarding New Life, please visit our website at newliferh.com.